Now, this is normally the time where there would be a cheesy link to, well, somebody who will be stepping out over the next couple of days at the Hollywood scenario will be the artists, directors and so on for the Hollywood. But I can't do that. Oh, please. A quick notion of the weather forecast. The maximum of 13 degrees centigrade, minimum of 7 degrees centigrade later on today. Rain in places, but clearing away with sunny spells across the region. That's the region of Lincolnshire, in case you're listening online. Where in the world you might happen to be online now, a gentleman who's become, a standard regular as far as contributions to the royal wedding is concerned, the details about the etiquette of royal ceremonies and so on. Very excited about that, although we haven't even asked him about his views on Sarah Ferguson apparently not receiving an invitation. But he's here today, as you rightly said, Stuart, very excited to talk about the upcoming Academy Awards ceremony. Registered, etc. Richard Fitzwilliams, are you there, Richard?
I most certainly am there.
Wonderful stuff. So yesterday we were linked up with Kelly Duncan Joyner in Los Angeles. She was sharing with us her tales working with Tom Chase Associates of the whole Hollywood thing. In fact, she lives just round the corner from the kind of whole Hollywood extravaganza and event from that point of view. And she was saying that she thought King's Speech rather than Social Network. Curiously, our British contributors in the studio were all saying, no, it's Social Network. I think you're King's Speech, aren't you, Richard?
Well, I'm backing the King's Speech, and I'm hoping it's going to win. But I would say this. Let's be impartial just for a second. This is going to be very exciting. Usually, if you know who's going to win, Slumdog Millionaire, for example, was an absolute shoo-in. We were certain who was going to win that year. It takes a bit of the edge off it. This time, it's absolutely knife-edge, because the background to all of this, of course, was Social Network triumphed. The LA film critics, the New York film critics, the Globes. Then, of course, we've seen the fight back with the King's Speech, and that won the producers, screenwriters, Guild, and also at the BAFTAs. It's knife-edge. The Critics' Circle Awards in London gave it to the Social Network. Of course, you can't tell. But I would point out, with reference to the Directors Guild, that they gave Tom Hooper, director of the King's Speech, the top award. Now, only six times since 1948 has that director not gone on to win an Oscar. And the Producers Guild victory, mostly, they tend to get it right. So I would say that the odds favor the King's Speech, but it could be desperately close, and it could be either.
Now, Stuart, as a jobbing actor and now a theatrical impresario, as we say, coordinator for the Upstage Left Theatre Company, you were saying you had a little wager with your fellow thespian students. It used to be an annual thing with the Academy Awards.
It did, yeah, all the way through university we used to have, and we still keep it going. I have The Social Network this year for Best Film. I have people in complete disagreement with me, though, who are King's Speech supporters, so...
We don't think there'll be something that'll creep up on the outside like True Grit and actually say, yes, it's for John Wayne fans.
I think possibly in the acting performance end of it. I'm not sure about Best Film, however.
No, it can't actually, because I regret to inform you that the Academy have a built-in prejudice against giving Westerns Best Film. In 82 years, only three, Samarin in 1933, and then Dances with Wolves and The Unforgiven of One. So forget it as Best Movie.
But that's as bad as having a bias against science fiction. I mean, they don't give a science fiction movie Best Award either. Outrageous.
Yes, nor comedy, but of course you can't. You cannot win them all the time, and it very much depends what you're up against. So, even Citizen Kane didn't win. High Noon lost out to the greatest show on earth, which was one of the most ridiculous things. Everyone feels that certain actors, Peter O'Toole, for example, have been hard done by, or certain movies haven't done as well as they might. Overall, over the years, Oscars spread it around pretty well.
There was a suggestion put forward by various film critics that the absolute perfect year for films and movies, which has never actually been achieved. It was 1939 with Wizard of Oz, with Gone with the Wind, with a variety of other set. I think it Happened One Night was around that sort of time. People are talking about, again, an equally exciting year this year. Is it another vintage year for the movies, Richard?
Oh, well, it is, because there's one very, very important aspect to this, which I'm certainly thrilled about, and that is that the smaller movies have done so well. If you look at the Best Actress nominees, I mean, of course, we've got Natalie Portman for Black Swan, and she's likely to win, and we've got Annette Bening for her fourth Oscar that she's up for. I suspect she won't win, but equally, I'm delighted to see her there. But what inspires me, Jennifer Lawrence for Winter's Bone, Michelle Williams for Blue Valentine, and Nicole Kidman for Rabbit Hole. Now, these are small-budget movies. They're extremely powerful. They do tell you more about the human condition. And, you know, I think that is absolutely fantastic. It shows, just as the Hurt Locker showed last year when it won, that it's not just linked to the Titanic type of movie, that it's got to be big budget, it's got to be epic, and so on. So that you have got a balance here.
Yes, I'm sure with respect to the director of The Hurt Locker, there might be one or two grimaces still within the James Cameron household about, she used to be my wife, and now she's taken my Avatar Oscar away from me. Outrageous.
Well, he was king of the world in Titanic. So that movie, let's be perfectly honest, it put bums on seats. It was a fantastic movie for the film community, and its script was so wooden that I'm surprised the cast didn't float away quite happily to safety on it.
Sometimes he doesn't pull any punches whatsoever. This is the reason there's still tension between Joy Knight and her fondness for Morris Dancing and Richard Fitzwilliams. We have to even separate them on different shows now.
I have to say, the Morris Dancing probably hardly exists and is about to be abolished. I mean, one has to be frank about it. You could hardly have Morris dancers performing at the Oscars as the best of British. And let's be frank with what we're offering the world at the Oscars, because although it's very often in American films, British performers have taken a very large section of the Oscars home over the years. And if you look at what constitutes a British film, we've had about a dozen wins, two Slumdog and Hamlet with just British money. Of course, American money has propped up a large number of the others. But it is nonetheless punching, well, I would say equal to our weight, because we have the best directors, actors, and technicians, or equal to the best in the world. And at the Oscars, we've done terribly well. I mean, whatever you thought of Inception, and I couldn't stand it, Christopher Nolan is, well, Anglo-American, according to his nationality. We've got Danny Boyle nominated, and for The King's Speech, of course, there's an absolute cornucopia of British talent. We know Colin Firth is going to win. What would be very interesting is if there was an upset for Best Supporting Actress. I think it'll be Melissa Leo for The Fighter. A very good film, incidentally, first class, but it just simply hasn't managed to get what I would say the momentum going to be the dark horse, to be the contender that could have had a chance. And I think it's just conceivable Helena Bonham Carter might have a chance, but it seems unlikely.
Yes, I think I was. I did actually acknowledge that Helena Bonham Carter was going to win the BAFTA. That was my prediction. I don't think she's going to do the same at the Oscars or the Academy Awards. I don't sort of sense that feeling at this particular stage. Of course, looking ahead, you mentioned obviously the British invasion of talent. It's interesting that Superman, Spider-Man, and Batman, three iconographic superheroes, all being played by Brits.
And the facts are that our actors do so brilliantly. Yes, that's one example, and these are huge franchises, so they mean so much to Hollywood, and you're absolutely right. No, it's something to be proud of, but equally, with The King's Speech, the big battle, the best picture and best director, because it's a completely, absolutely wafer-thin margin, I think, that you're looking at here.
Will you be settling back with, you know, the proverbial sort of glass of sherry or just a sort of chilling out scenario watching the whole thing, Richard? Will it be a case of you'll wait up until the morning? Will you follow it on radio? What's your activity? What sort of things do you go through for Academy Award night? Yeah.
Well, it very much depends what I'm doing. I mean, firstly, I think that if you're going to comment on it, and in one way or another, I tend to be used. Usually it's a radio station. I wouldn't dare touch a drink when on air, believe me.
Ah, you see, that's what marks you out as somewhat special than the other film critics. No names, of course, but sometimes you say, I love the Black Swan. I do. I love the Black Swan. It should have won.
To be perfectly fair, I think that if you've got any form of public performance coming up and you actually start imbibing, you're asking for trouble, and you could become... And this is the mistake. You don't want a commentator to be part of the show. We've already had one MC who's part of the show, and we don't want to dwell on Ricky Gervais. What we're looking at is Anne Hathaway and James Franco, which, in my opinion, is far, far more preferable. The MCs in Sunday Ceremony.
And let's be honest, James Franco was the Green Goblin in Spider-Man, so you've got to obviously admire his credibility from that point of view.
And 127 hours, look what
exactly,
he survived.
Exactly. And your own thoughts, Stuart, what would you be doing Gomosca night? Will it be a case of you just chill out? What's your sort of feeling?
Yeah, well, I mean, I won't be presenting, so I'll probably be drinking. Sure. But yes, I will definitely sit and watch, absolutely, yeah.
Great stuff. Richard, it's been a delight as ever to get a flavour. I have to ask you the question, though. We suggested it in the introduction. Sarah Ferguson, apparently no invitation. An omission? Or there we are. What can we see? And also a very unflattering photograph on the front cover of the Daily Telegraph on Saturday to indicate Miss Ferguson looking, not shall we say, the best for wear.
Yes, you're quite right. The photograph was certainly chosen to be very unkind. But, I mean, quite frankly, if you remember in the 1990s, the embarrassments there and the fact that she was a disaster as a member of the royal family, she paid her debts back subsequently, and I think people, were cheering at this. But what we've been seeing recently, I mean, that absolutely deplorable video where she was offering access to her husband for cash and what we saw there, I mean, she was drunk.
Step too far, eh?
Well, and also don't forget the psychobabble, which I thought was ghastly on Oprah Winfrey. I mean, she's just gone too far because she cannot curb her spending. But she's being helped. Let's hope she's gradually, slowly rehabilitated. And may I conclude by the prayer that it's out of the public limelight.
Very true. Richard, it's been wonderful as ever. Now, two final questions. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition?
I have enormously enjoyed it. And also, my Oscar vibes. You start to pulsate with energy when it comes to the Oscars because it is exciting and it's the greatest show on earth. Any film, bar a very, very few, and any performer, bar two or three who won, I mean, it's made them subsequently a fortune and it's made their careers.
Well, we certainly have confirmed that. So, can we look forward to having a post Academy Awards review, possibly similar time next Thursday?
I look forward to that enormously. Next Thursday will be the day before I leave for Rome, so I should be delighted.
Have you got an audience with the Pope then? Are you moving up? Is this an aspect you kept very quiet, or would it just be a case of throwing three coins in the fountain or having a holiday with Audrey? Do you see the way we mixed and matched those things there? Roman holiday, Pope, yes.
Yes, I'm glad to see that you have a fondness for Audrey Hepburn because Emma Thompson got a lot of stick, and as well she should, by calling her clunky in My Fair Lady.
Oh, please.
I thought that was
please.
Most
anybody can actually act Mickey Rourke's Chinese impersonation off the screen in Breakfast at Tiffany's and sing Moon River in the way she did. It's quality stuff.
So was My Fair Lady, the perfect musical.
Precisely. The bottom line is, Richard Fitzwilliams, you will return.
I look forward to it.